You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. This week, the UW-Madison Elections Research Center wrapped up its third major survey of registered and likely voters in key battleground states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, looking at the presidential race. The polling was done in collaboration with the Wisconsin State Journal. Results were just released earlier today. The short version, Democratic challenger Joe Biden still leads incumbent Republican Donald Trump in all three states, but not by a huge margin. Mike Wagner is a professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison. He's also part of the Elections Research Center. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
We'll break down those results a little further for us, Mike. What do we see in these three really key states?
So first we can go through registered voters, and there in Michigan, Joe Biden has a 50-42 lead over Donald Trump. In Pennsylvania, 49-44, and in Wisconsin, also that same number, 49% to 44%. That's among registered voters. Among likely voters, it's a little bit more narrow. There in Wisconsin, Biden has a 4-point lead as compared to a 5-point lead, and his 8-point lead in Michigan drops to 6. So a little bit of a tightening when we just consider likely voters in the poll, but good news for Joe Biden across the board, but not so good that he ought to feel comfortable that he's got this sewn up in these states.
And that's a good point. From how polling works, even if this pretty consistent Biden lead in those three states held up in polls until election day, the way margins of error and things like that work, it is not at all a lock, even if those numbers stay consistent for Biden, right?
That's right. The election has been extraordinarily consistent for more than a year in national polling. Biden's lead has been relatively stable for a very long time, from before he was actually the official nominee of the party. And the polling in Wisconsin and these other states has been fairly stable as well, with the typical narrowing the closer that we get to Election Day.
That said, even though a 4-point lead isn't a lock, if I'm a candidate, I'm happier 4 points up than 4 points down, right?
Would much rather be in the lead, that's for sure.
Now let's look at what motivated voters. That was an interesting part of the poll. You looked at the issues that motivated Biden voters, the issues that motivated Trump voters. Let's start on the Biden side. What were some of the top issues the people who said they're going to vote for Joe Biden were raising?
Overwhelmingly, it's the coronavirus outbreak. Almost half of Biden voters say that's the most important issue facing the country right now. Healthcare, climate change, and inequality, which I think we could mostly interpret as racial inequality, although we could also think about economic inequality. Those were also the kind of the top issues. Each of those had a little bit more than 10% of voters who were for Joe Biden saying that that's their number one issue. But for Biden voters, it's really the coronavirus that's their top priority right now.
And then for Trump supporters, what did we hear from them on issues that were important to them?
The economy was number one. 37% of Trump voters said that was the issue that was most important to them. And then crime was second. And this is really an example of just the two completely different worlds Biden and Trump voters appear to be observing right now. 24% of Trump voters said crime was their most important issue. Only 2% of Biden voters. 47% of Biden voters said the coronavirus outbreak was their number one. Only 13% of Trump voters. And so it's not just that they have different focuses, but that the difference between them is so striking.
Talking to Mike Wagner from UW-Madison. He's part of the Elections Research Center. We're looking at the new battleground poll just out today, looking at three really important states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania in the presidential race. Well, Mike, that last point you made fits into a lot of the research I know you and colleagues have been doing for a long time now, and I think planning to do a long time in the future. The concept of a partisan divide among voters, not just in their opinions, but kind of in the reality they live in based on things like the media they consume and who they talk to. Can you talk about that and how it fits into what you see when you ask questions like, what issue matters to you, Trump voter? What issue matters to you, Biden voter?
Yeah, we see these kinds of differences with respect to the kinds of news people use. We see that voters who favor Joe Biden prefer, hearing news on the radio. They prefer hearing or they prefer major national newspapers. They use social media a little bit more. Trump supporters And Biden supporters both use local television news in roughly the same amount. But Trump supporters tend to really listen to conservative talk radio, which is not something that Biden voters tend to do very much of. And so people are living, or some people at least, are living in really different information streams. Those tend to be the most deeply polarized among us, whereas the folks who are having a wider range of a media diet, so to speak, are the folks who are more likely to split their ticket when they vote, as compared to voting that straight party line. And so a lot of it has to do with just where people get their information. But Republicans and Democrats are different across a whole host of attitudes, from news use to the kinds of restaurants they frequent, to the kinds of movies they like, to the kinds of humor they prefer.
Let's talk about undecided voters in the three states surveyed here. Are they a really common breed of humanity right now?
There are not many of them, in the single digits at most right now, in key states like Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania. Most folks know what they think. Most folks have known what they've thought for a very long time. But those who are undecided are, the kinds of folks who might be swayed by something that happens very late in the election season. It might be a debate. It might be a flood of advertising. It might be some kind of, October surprise. But there aren't many of them. But when the election is as close as it's likely to be in a state like ours, it doesn't take many people to change the outcome.
Let's talk about those move the needle types of events, because it's been stable, as you say, through mass nationwide protests, this huge pandemic that we're going to be writing about in history books in years to come. Joe Biden and President Trump have said a lot of words, controversial sometimes. Nothing seems to move the needle. Is there any reason to think that, say, a debate or three debates, for that matter, is going to really change that much?
I think the smartest and most likely expectation is that these things won't change voter attitudes very much. If there are changes in the polls, it may well be that undecided voters have finally heard enough enough to make a decision about who it is they're going to support, or folks who were trying to decide if they were going to turn out to vote in the first place do make that decision. I'm going to do it. I'm going to cast my vote this year. And so those are areas where we could see little bits of change. But this has been a very stable election season in terms of the preferences expressed by people when we've asked them who they want to vote for.
Let's talk about favorability of the two candidates, because a notable demographic in the 2016 election was people who didn't like Hillary Clinton and didn't like Donald Trump, and they were kind of deciding who they disliked less, I guess, if I'm saying that right. Do you have a sense of favorability for either or both candidates?
I think the Trump favorability is very similar to what it was in 2016. People really, really like him, or really, really dislike him for the most part. Whereas the Biden's favorability is a little bit better than Clinton's was in 2016, and he's performing better in some different demographics than she was during that time, even as she led the popular vote and even as she led many of the polls right here in Wisconsin. He's doing a little bit better with a variety of different groups, and he has also not lost support in terms of voters shifting who they're for over the course of the last month.
Couple other interesting things you asked about in this survey. First of all, how people are planning to vote in person versus by mail. Anything stand out to you there?
Yeah, the partisan difference. It seems like Democrats are way more interested in being able to vote by mail than Republicans are. And then that's not super surprising when we think about the leader of the Republican Party, the president of the United States, saying that he doesn't trust voting by mail. And so even though there's no evidence that voting by mail has any more problems with its veracity than any other kind of voting, the president is really railing against it. And Democrats really seem to prefer it as compared to Republicans in this election cycle.
We do see President Trump encouraging Republican voters in Florida to vote by mail lately. I think answering concerns by Republicans in Florida that he might be discouraging turnout by mail for their voters. Have we seen similar messaging here in Wisconsin? Republicans saying, no, we can still vote by mail.
I've seen that from some state Republicans who I think have been more more vocal about the different avenues afforded to people to vote in the state. But from the president, who himself, you know, cast a vote through the mail in Florida, no less, is not doing that same kind of encouraging of his supporters to vote for him through that particular mechanism of voting.
And something I haven't seen in a lot of surveys, you also asked about how likely voters were contacted, whether they'd been contacted by campaigns directly by mail, email. Anything stand out to you there?
Yeah, I was. It was interesting to notice that there, Biden voters were a little bit more likely to get contacted in Michigan and Pennsylvania, but Trump voters were more likely to report being contacted in Wisconsin among likely voters. And so 70% of Trump voters said they'd been contacted in Wisconsin, as compared to 59% of Biden voters in the state. And, you know, almost two out of three Wisconsinites said they've been contacted by both parties, which I think speaks to how cheap it is now to use social media and texting and other, you know, affordances to try to contact voters as compared to sending mail, which is a little bit more expensive.
In our last few moments, Mike, what are you watching for next as this campaign goes on?
Well, I'll be interested to see how the issues related to Justice Ginsburg's death are interpreted by the public, to see if that is something that motivates more folks on the left. Folks on the right had already been motivated by opportunities to vote for Supreme Court judges, and we knew a little bit about that from data in 2016. And so we'll see if that moves the needle. And then by the same token, there's been a little bit of a narrowing in support for some of the racial justice protest movements in Wisconsin over the last month. And so I'll be curious to see if that's stabilizes or continues the trend that it's been moving in.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You bet. My pleasure.
Mike Wagner is a professor of mass communication at UW-Madison. We talked to him today about results from the latest UW Elections Research Center polling in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. They show Joe Biden with a consistent lead over President Trump, but not an overwhelming lead over the president in all three states.